Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Celebrate our God-given freedom and faith while honoring our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Socks, a Catholic book blogger. Today with us, we have Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, known as the Dynamic Deacon. He is one of the world's most sought-after Catholic speakers today. He's an accomplished preacher and evangelist. Deacon Harold travels across the world speaking at conferences, workshops, parish retreats, and other events to help people who desire a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. He's also a published author and radio co-host whose areas of expertise include marriage and family life, men's spirituality, pro-life issues, the sacraments, evangelization, and prayer. And today we'll be speaking about his book, Father Augustus Tolton. Welcome to the show, Deacon Harold.
Well, thank you for having me, Pete. It's great to be with you.
Oh, you're welcome. And I guess the first question to start our time together today that would be probably an obvious one is, what drew you to writing this book on Father Augustus?
Yeah, well, it goes all the way back to when I was in seventh grade. I grew up in Newark, New Jersey. I went to Christ the King Catholic Church in Hillside. And, we were one of a very handful of African-American families there. So when it came in seventh grade, was confirmation. I wanted to find a confirmation saint that looked like me. So, you know, back in those days, you couldn't go on the internet, so you had to go to the library and look through the card catalog. And as I was looking, like, I accidentally came across Sister Carolyn Hemesath's book, which was out of print, but there was a copy of it at the library on Father Augustus Tolton called Slaves to Priest. And I said, huh, who's this guy? Well, he wasn't a saint, so I couldn't use him for confirmation, but that's the first time I actually came across him. And it was one of those things that, okay, oh, that's interesting, never knew about this guy. Filed it in the back of my mind and went out looking for a confirmation saint. And but then fast forward now, Ignatius Press back in 2005 buys the rights to Sister Hemesath's book from Franciscan Press, republishes it, and asks me to write the foreword and to promote the book. Since Sister Hemesath is deceased then, The bishop who wrote the first foreword is also deceased, so they asked me to do it, and I was very happy to do that and promote the book. And so as I was promoting the book, I was like, you know, this is great. Now people know about his life, or at least be able to know about his life, but what lessons can we learn today from his life? How does his life and his legacy have meaning for Catholics today? And that's what my book is about.
Yeah, it is, and it's great how you tied the two together. For those of us unfamiliar with Father Augustus, can you give us sort of an overview, a crash course primer on his life?
Sure. Father Augustus Tolton was born a slave in 1854 in Brush Creek, Missouri. And his mother was a wedding gift from one slave owner to another. So his son was getting married, and his mother was a wedding gift so his son could go off to his own plantation. And so that's how he met. Mary Jane Chisley was his mother, met his father. John Tolton got married, had three children, and one of them was Augustus. In fact, on his birth certificate, it says property of Stephen Elliott. who was the slave owner. So, and they were slaves. So his father escaped to the Underground Railroad to try to fight the Civil War to free his family. He died early in the war. His mother subsequently escaped to the Underground Railroad with the three kids, crossed the Mississippi River to Quincy, Illinois. And when they got there, they were met with tremendous racism by the parishioners. Now, the priests and the nuns welcomed them with open arms, but it was the parishioners who rejected them. But so they were parish shopping, basically jumping around from parish to parish because no one would accept them. So they finally ended up at the Irish parish. And the old, tough, rugged Irish priest, Father Peter McGurr, said, I don't care what these people say, you're staying. And so he noticed as Augustus got older that, hey, this guy could have a vocation. And so he asked them directly, do you think you want to become a priest? And he said, I could become a priest, you know, because he's black. He said, I don't see why not, you know. Wonderful optimism of the priest. And so he helped train him as best he could without formal seminary training. But he then applied to every seminary in the United States, and every single one rejected him because he was black. And when he was about to give up all hope, the Vatican took him through the Franciscans. The Vatican took him and trained him to be a priest. And so he thought he was going to go to Africa or Borneo or someplace to be a missionary, but they sent him back to the United States. In fact, back to Quincy, Illinois, where he grew up. And now he's a pastor in his town. And now the parishioners were showing up at his parish, but now it was the priests who were rejecting him, the other clergy. So, and so he ended up going to Chicago, where Cardinal Sheehan welcomed him with open arms and said, hey, you know, you have your full run of, you know, the place here. And basically worked himself to death, died in 1897 of complications from heat stroke. And is buried now back in Quincy, the priest cemetery back in Quincy, Illinois.
So where is Father Augustus at in the timeline for the process of sainthood?
Well, just 2 weeks ago, Pope Francis named him venerable. So he's basically two steps away. He needs a miracle to become blessed and then another miracle to become a saint. So, so he's moving along pretty well.
Right.
He went through all the preliminary stuff and all the, you know, make sure his life was worthy of, you know, sainthood, that all that kind of stuff, and dug up his body, took relics and all that stuff. And and it was unanimous, actually, by the Congregation for the Cause for Saints. And Pope Francis agreed.
That kind of leads right into my next question. So it's kind of funny. I had never heard of Father Tolton until your book arrived. And then within weeks of the arrival of that book, I start seeing all kinds of articles and Facebook posts popping up, National Catholic Register articles and whatnot. Why, in addition to that sainthood cause, why the sudden interest in his story, do you think?
Well, that's a great question. I think when you look at what's going on in our country, look what's going on in our world, there's such polarization, especially racial polarization. You know, you had it, you know, for the past 8 years, 10 years, you know, 12 years, you know, with the presidents, you know, and personalities and issues that are dividing people, life issues, states set one state against another one. There's so much confusion about gender and race and all kinds of things. And, you know, there's a lot of division. And I think Father Tolton could be a figure that could pull people together. Mm-hmm. You know, he did not respond to what was happening to him with the same vitriol and the anger and the slander and the polemics that is ubiquitous on the nightly news. He didn't do that. He responded with the heart of Christ. You know, he wanted to respond by entering into dialogue. He responded by taking action, you know, and saying, no, we can do better than this. And I think the way that he approached these issues, issues of life, all of it, could be a shining example of how we in the church can respond and be witnesses and examples to the power of the gospel in this culture today. Mm,
for sure. What impact did writing this book have on you, and as you discovered his story and dug deeper into it?
Well, in a lot of sense, it's very personal. I mean, he lost his father, but You know, I didn't have the greatest relationship with my father either. And I was very close to my mom, and he was very close to his mom. You know, he experienced, well, I mean, I didn't experience nearly the amount of tremendous racism that he did, but mm-hmm. I did experience some growing up. You know, and so there was definitely some parallels there. And also some of my preaching has been inspired. In fact, I include in the book at the end these reflections, which are not on his life, but those homilies were inspired by his life. So when I purposely gave those homilies in the past, I have had specifically written them thinking, having Father Augustus Tolton in mind. You know, so it's very personal for me. And I really do believe that his example can be a light in the darkness. Jesus talks about, I came, I'm the light of the world, and people prefer darkness rather than light. And we're seeing that so much today. People are preferring darkness rather than light. Mm-hmm. And I think that Augustus Tolton can be a shining light. He was for me, and I think he could be for others as well.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Redbox Media. We'll be right back.
I have a quiz for you. What is one of the greatest gifts parents can give to their children? It's something children ask for often. When this gift is received, the entire family is incredibly joyful and transformed on the special occasion of the arrival of this masterpiece. This gift calls for faith, courage, and generosity on the part of the givers. It lasts for many decades, only getting better, changing, and developing each day. This magnificent gift is unique and can never be repeated, but a similar gift can be added approximately every year. This gift can only be given by three persons agreeing and acting. Have you guessed it yet? Yes, this profound gift is that of welcoming another child. And the three persons agreeing are husband, wife, and God. I'm Jim Littleton, formingfaithfulfamilies.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. Today we have with us Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. We're talking about his book, Father Augustus Tolton, an absolutely wonderful book tying Father Augustus's life together with issues we face today. Deacon, Father Augustus was a man born in slavery, which we covered. His father dies. He lives in poverty. And somehow, miraculously, he landed in Catholic seminary. So that's really, truly an almost impossible scenario for the 1800s, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. You know, he wasn't allowed at any of the seminaries. But, you know, some of the priests that were working with him didn't give up. You know, they tried to figure out, okay, you know, how can we do this? And so the Josephites were, and this was a group of a religious order that was specifically found to evangelize the freed slaves. They had started working in the U.S. in Baltimore, but they had not yet built a seminary. So one of the bishops said, why just wait till they build a seminary and then join them? But who knows when that was going to be? He was already in his 20s, mm-hmm. you know, already, you know, past the time that most men would already started seminary. So, you know, he kept saying, well, just wait, be patient, just wait, be patient. And he was getting frustrated to the point of almost giving up. And that's when one of the Franciscan priests wrote his superior in Rome, explained to him the situation. Because the Vatican first, when it was first brought, they said, well, just train him in the seminaries there. And so the bishop went back and said, well, they said, just wait for the seminary. But the bishop failed to tell the congregation at the Vatican that he was already rejected from every seminary. Mm. Not to leave that detail out. So the Franciscans gave a very complete and detailed written description of all the training he received, of all the rejections from the seminaries, and the head of the Franciscans in Rome brought that to the prefect of the congregation. Well, it's called the Propaganda Fidei back then, the propagation of the faith. It was a seminary that was set up to train men from countries that did not have seminaries. And then they would send them back as priests. So, for example, at that time, Nigeria didn't have any seminaries. So they would send men to the Vatican, train as priests, and they would go back and serve in the dioceses there.
Okay.
And that's what they did for Augustus Tolton, who loved his experience in Rome and traveling around Europe. He learned German, which from the nuns, actually, that taught him in Quincy. But they also learned, of course, Latin, and then French as well, fluent in all those languages.
So as we touched upon a bit in the first segment, your book's about even more than just Father Tolton's story. You dovetail it and use that story as a springboard to discuss various topics and biblical truths and issues that we're facing today. And I'd like to take a look at a few of those. And perhaps the most obvious one, and you touched upon it last segment, is racism. Father Tolton became the first African-American priest in the United States. What impact can his story have on this issue? And what impact has it had already?
Well, I think as more people find out about the life of Augustus Tolton, Father Augustus Tolton, then I think it'll have even more of an impact. In fact, in the latest USCCB document on racism that was approved earlier this year or late last year during one of their meetings, they approved that document, and it does mention Augustus Tolton in there, but only in passing. So that's what I try to do is kind of draw that out a little more. And so I talk about racism. I talk about church's response to racism, but then I talk about also how Augustus Tolton responded to racism. And I love that because he really responded in the same way, in a sense that St. Teresa of Calcutta, by looking at the person. And not looking past color, but looking at the person. The way Mother Teresa looked at a leper, and other people say, oh, my goodness, that's disgusting. Oh, how could you be around people like that? But when she saw someone, she saw Jesus. She saw the image and likeness of God in the person standing in front of her, and so did Augustus Tolton. And he just wanted, for example, the people that felt that, well, he wanted to sit down and talk. Let's dialogue. If you sit down and see me and talk to me, and experience me, you'll see, hey, I'm not your stereotype. I'm actually an individual person that is intelligent and that can have a conversation. Let's learn from each other. Let's grow. That was his approach. And we don't do enough of that. We just want to pick up sticks and throw at each other and call each other names and separate each other. But this is really an opportunity to come together.
Absolutely. In the book, you dedicated a chapter to building strong families. It's obviously an issue in today's climate. What can we do to address one specific facet of that? And that's the epidemic of single parent homes and broken families that we see so prevalent today.
Yeah, there's a huge crisis, and there's a number of reasons why we're in that crisis today. You have the rise of feminism, not the feminism in the anthropology of John Paul II. He talks about authentic feminism, like Mulieris Dignitatem, is a beautiful document on women, which is absolutely 1988 document, absolutely wonderful. I'm talking about the feminism that said we in order to be more like a woman, I have to be more like a man, and because of that, we don't need men. It's because of contraception, the onslaught of contraception. It's the onslaught of no-fault divorce. It's the onslaught of drugs and alcohol and pornography. It's the onslaught, especially in the black community, where men, we have bought into the lie of the culture and use women as objects for pleasure and gratification. I mean, it's all those things coming together that's really decimated and devastated family life all over the world. But at first you see the numbers in minority communities. Now you're seeing it in all families. I mean, the divorce rate is 50%. Half the people that get married get divorced. And look at what's happening now. Now you have euthanasia. Alfie Evans and Charlie Gard, the two kids in England that were euthanized by England, even though they were given citizenship by Italy and the United States to come in and seek some form of treatment. But they were not allowed to because the state decided these kids are going to die. I mean, we're just in a huge mess right now. Mm-hmm. And what we need to do is to build strong families. The way we build strong families is having two parents in the home, a mother and a father, that are giving life and love to their children. And I show in the book how his mom kept the memory of his dad alive in their children's hearts, even though he wasn't there, and how she sacrificed and struggled so they could have a better life than she did, than they first started out as slaves, and she was so proud. In fact, was the housekeeper for her son when he became a priest. He went to Chicago with them as well, and she prayed constantly, almost like a St. Monica the way she prayed for her family, mm-hmm. prayed for her son. You know, it was, I mean, it's just wonderful. That's why, and I talk about that. I even give some practical things that families can do today to build strong families. Get, you know, get off the devices. You know, I mean, I sometimes I go to dinner with my family, and we're looking around, and there's literally families sitting across from each other, and everybody's on the phone. Nobody's talking to each other. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Is this where we are today? So, you know, and so I think the key to recovering this culture and bringing some sanity back into it, quite frankly, is building strong families. You build strong families, you build a strong church. You build a strong church, you can build a strong culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I wanted to show it. Even though, look, I mean, Augustus could have been a statistic. Single mom raising by himself. He could have gotten the drugs and alcohol like so many other kids did at his time. But that's why he dedicated a lot of his priesthood to working with that specific community to try to help build strong families again, to get the men out of the bar, spend their paychecks in the bars instead of helping their families. You know, and so he worked really hard and to teach the kids about the faith when the parents didn't even know the faith themselves because they couldn't read or write. So, you know, he was very dedicated to strong families, and I want to bring that out in the book as well.
Mm-hmm. And you did a great job of it. Another thing you touched upon in that chapter was the fact that young men today are, frankly, totally misguided by society. You look at moral relativism and secular humanism in that chapter. What can we as fathers do to ensure that youth are on the proper path, and what age do we start tackling these issues?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And, you know, when the kids are young, it's all about mommy, you know, because their hearts are developing. And so and the heart of the family is the mom. No question about it. Even society recognizes that. The woman is the heart of the home, we say. The woman is the heart of the family. But when they get older and they're trying to navigate through this culture, figure out what is truth, what's right, how do I live my life? That's when dad really starts to kick in. Not saying that dad doesn't have a role when they're younger, but when they get older, that's when dad's role really starts to pick up. And the age it needs to start, I think it needs to start about 11, 12 years old. Because, you know, when I was watching pieces of the USCCB meeting, and Bishop Robert Barron was giving his presentation because he's head of evangelization. And he was saying that kids start completely losing interest in the faith at 13 years old, right around the age of confirmation. You know, so they're getting confirmed, but they're just ticking off a box.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the prom. I got my driver's license. I got confirmed. You know, so dads need to do, first of all, be witnesses and examples to their children of the love of Christ. That means you are the priest in the house. You pray with your children. You pray with your wife every day. You don't make excuses. You go to church every Sunday to show those kids that it's not about me. It's about making a gift of myself to God who made a gift of himself to us on the cross. And it's a beautiful exchange in that sacrament of the Eucharist of love and life and intimacy and communion. If you have daughters, take them when they get old enough, take them on dates. That's what I did for my girl. I have three girls. And I took them on their first dates. And I treated them like ladies. Because I need to show them how to be treated like a man.
Mm-hmm.
I go on guys' night out with my son. And we talk about heart issues. We talk about abortion. We talk about transgender nonsense. We talk about euthanasia. We talk about pornography. Because I don't want my son to learn that from some athlete or from some rock star. I want to learn from his father. I want to be able to trust me and come to me in confidence, know that I will always love him unconditionally and always tell him the truth. And Jesus Christ says the truth will set you free, not anything this culture can offer. And I think Augustus did that, even though it wasn't a father with children. He had many spiritual children
mm-hmm.
that he worked with in these communities. And he was very much a father figure to them. And so, again, using the examples I gave along with Father Tolkien, I think can really help spur and recover men back to their proper identity as husbands and fathers and leaders in their family.
Absolutely. We're going to take one more quick break, and we'll be right back.
Are you married? I'd like to suggest that you often return to the fond and true memory of your spouse when you first met and on your wedding day. Well, he or she is still that same lovable person. Perhaps life has presented many challenges you did not expect back then, but you have come through these together. And the providential fire of your tribulations and your love has forged you into the one body you are today. And that is a beautiful thing. Never let anyone or any inferior thing tear you and your spouse asunder. God is one with you. He is love. Your marriage is love. And love endures whatever comes. It does not come to an end. See 1 Corinthians 13. I'm Jim Littleton of FormingFaithfulFamilies.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. We've been spending today with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers talking about his book on the life of Father Augustus Tolton. And one chapter struck me in here, Deacon, and that's the chapter you wrote on the power of prayer. And in that chapter, you tell of an exchange between a young Augustus Tolton and his mentor, Father Michael Richard, where Augustus is struggling with the plight of African Americans at that point in time and prior. And he was trying to figure out in his mind and how that all worked with justice. And I think a lot of us do that today, too, with different situations and how it applied to them. Can you tell us about that exchange and what Father Richard taught Augustus about forgiveness?
Yeah, so what was going on, there are a number of different priests that helped to form Augustus before he went off before the Vatican took him and trained him in the seminary there. Because as we know, even today, priests move. They get reassigned.
Right.
And so every time a priest moved, they made sure that there was another priest somewhere that was willing to pick up where they left off with Augustus' studies. And so, yeah, so one of these priests was a Father Richard. And so he was talking about philosophy and Thomas Aquinas, with Augustus. And they got to the section of the Summa where they were talking about justice. And that really struck Augustus Tolton. He experienced so much injustice. He said, well, where's the justice then? You know, and so he would ask things like, why can't we go to Catholic schools and churches without being insulted? Why do some people despise us and call us and hate us and call us bastards and coons? Why are we isolated like lepers, segregated, shoved aside, kicked on, spat upon? I mean, he was getting emotional. Mm-hmm. And who can blame him?
Right.
You know, and so it's Father Richard. You know, it's just like today. You know, when you're going through something, you pray the rosary, you go to mass, but when you're going through something really, really hard, and you're actually experiencing it yourself, it's like all the philosophy goes out the window. You just want to know, where is God right now? Where is this loving God in my life right now? Because I don't feel his presence. And I think Augustus was going through something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Father Richard was just trying to help him navigate that and try to figure it out. Father Richard was teaching him about what Aquinas was teaching about that. And he says, you know, the church always stands for justice. But so what he learned there was what the church teaches is true and good and beautiful, even though the people in the church
mm-hmm.
are sinners in need of God's mercy. They don't live up to the standard that Christ set for them. They always fall short because, you know, the church says, you know, teaches this is right, but because the people don't follow it doesn't mean the teachings aren't true. And so I think Augustus had to wrestle with that, the contradiction. Wait a minute. These people are calling themselves Christians. Here's what it means to be a Christian. They're not living that. That's true. But the teachings are still true. And that's something that he would take with him when he finally became a priest. He not just wanted to teach the faith. He wanted to live the faith so that people can see the faith being lived through him.
Mm-hmm.
And not the contradiction. And we're seeing that now with the abuse scandals. People want to leave the church because of what less than 2% of priests are doing. And the sad part is, no matter if we have, okay, one kid abuses, one kid too many. There's no question about that. But the point is, even though that's happening, they are going against what the church that they stand for is teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to focus on the teachings, and that's what Augustus did, to live that, not just teach it, but live it out to the best of his ability, and to learn to forgive. And he forgave from the heart. He was angry. Like anybody would, but he held no long-term animosity in his heart. He did what Jesus said, shake the dust from your shoes and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And he prayed for them too. He prayed for the people that hate him, exactly what Christ tells us to do.
So also dovetail to that is this is about bearing our crosses in life. Now, obviously some people's crosses are a lot bigger or heavier, it seems, than what others may be, but you know, it's all about perception and how we each look at what we're all faced with. What can we learn from Father Tolton about bearing our crosses?
Well, Father Augustus, did what Dave, he understood the way of carrying his cross like David. Think about it. Jesus carried his cross, but he needed help. Simon and Cyrene helped him carry the cross. When David fought Goliath, you know, David said to Goliath, you come to me with sword and javelin and spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. See, he understood that God fights with and for him. God will help you pick up that cross and move forward. When you fall down, he's there to help pick you up and keep walking, not to back away from the cross, not to turn around and walk the other direction, but keep walking toward heaven. Why? As Father Augustus often lived and taught, there is no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. There is no resurrection without crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
And as the Psalms say, Psalm 90, the Psalm written by Moses, most of life is pain. He says our span is 70 years or 80 for those who are strong. And most of these are emptiness and pain. They pass swiftly and we are gone. And so what Father Augustus told them focused on was, yes, picking up the cross because we all have them, but understand that Christ is walking with you. Christ understands what you're going through. He went through it himself. He went through it himself. And so when Augustus always looked at it, always had a crucifix. He was always in adoration. And he looked at that crucifix and he saw himself on there. You know, he saw Christ broke himself open and poured himself out in love and in suffering. And in my suffering, I too need to break myself open and pour myself out in love to make a gift of myself to others. Why? Because when you give yourself away in love, that's when you truly find yourself. And that's a big lesson that we can learn from the life of Augustus Tolton.
Mm-hmm. In the Culture of Life, in the Meaning of Human Suffering chapter, you write this, and it really struck me, and I'm going to give a quote here. Quote, racism is learned behavior. Overturning it cannot be just about some abstract notions concerning the culture or some nefarious outside source. We have to look within our communities, indeed within our very selves. End quote. That's a very powerful statement. We touched upon that a bit in the first segment. Can you unpack that and perhaps give your thoughts on what we as Catholics can do to move this country forward?
Yeah, so when we look at what's going on with racism, it's not enough to say, well, it's this person's fault. It's slavery's fault. It's that person's fault. It's the KKK's fault. You know, we always want to point fingers and blame, but the only person we don't want to point fingers at is ourselves. What can we – okay, recognizing that all that's going on, and yes, that does contribute to an overall climate, but what can I do? What am I doing to contribute to what's going on in the country? What can I do to help change it? So don't just point to the outside and blame and just play the victim and play a scapegoat. No, we have to stand up and make a difference, you know, not just sit back and go, well, let's just make the society change. Who's going to change society? The people in society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and Augustus went around lecturing, which he didn't want to do. He was trying to raise money to build St. Monica's Church in Chicago. He didn't want to do it, but he did it. And he talked a lot about, in those speeches, he talked a lot about these kinds of issues, about healing divisions and bringing people together. And that's why he went out. He wanted people to see a black man, a black priest, speaking intelligently about these issues, because he felt if they saw him and they experienced him, that would change minds and hearts. You know, so he didn't say, he could have left the Catholic Church totally
mm-hmm.
after everything, and nobody would have blamed him. Nobody would have blamed him. But he stayed, and he rolled up his sleeves, and he did the hard work, and that's what we need to do.
Absolutely. Deacon, this is a fantastic book. Where can people find your book, Father Augustus Tolton?
They can go to EWTN Religious Catalog, EWTNRC.com, and they can pick it up there. Or they can go to the Sophia Institute Press website or on Amazon.
And that's all we have time for today. Deacon Harold, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule and spending it with us. Any closing thoughts?
Well, I hope people pick up the book. And actually, I know what I would love, people read it as a, together as a family. Read it together as a family, because I think there's a lot of fruit in there, a lot of seeds that could bear great fruit in the lives of a family and in the hearts of their children. So that's what I would recommend.
And I agree with that wholeheartedly. With that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Redbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. And until next time, God bless.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love.